Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, I will be brave. I want to say happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to Chris Elston. He's no longer with us here at CCO, but oh, we miss you, dude. I hope you are having a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day with your two boys and your beautiful wife. Also to my cousins, Stacy and Greg, you know, really congratulations on having beautiful children and being great fathers. All right. This interview, as I told you, I'm talking to Brendan Jordan. And why? Because Brendan is the head of Drive Electric Minnesota. And I don't know if you've heard about this $75 fee that the state lawmakers approved of. This is a brand new fee, by the way, to make up for the loss of gas tax revenues. And this is that they're actually going after anybody who's, you know, using an electric vehicle, owns an electric vehicle. And I just wonder how far this will go. Now, this is going to start in January. So I got a lot of questions for Brendan. Brendan, welcome to WCCO.
Well, thank you very much, Geraldine, for having me on the show.
It's great to have you. Drive Electric Minnesota. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Drive Electric Minnesota is a partnership of a lot of the electric vehicle advocates in the state of Minnesota. It includes environmental organizations, electric utilities and cooperatives, automakers, auto dealers, public health organizations. It's really kind of the whole universe of organizations that are trying to increase electric vehicle adoption for the benefit of Minnesotans.
Mm-hmm. Are you a lobbyist for those partners?
You know, lobbying is one of many hats I wear.
I can imagine that takes up a lot of your time these days.
Absolutely. Yep.
So how did you feel about this $75 fee?
Well, you know, we're not wild about the $75 fee. And you know, at the end of the day, it's not going to be a disaster for the industry. But, you know, it's our position that this is a new technology, mm-hmm. and so we think it's a good technology for Minnesota, and I think as it matures, it's definitely going to be positioned to, you know, pay its fair share, but we just don't think adding a new fee at the early stage of introducing a new technology is the right idea. You know, at the same time, you know, again, it's $75 a year. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. The industry will survive.
And it's about, what, 5,000 Minnesotans that have electric cars?
That's correct. Yeah, there's about 5,000 electric cars on the road.
Can I just say I thought that number would be much higher?
Yeah, well, again, it is a new technology, and you know, sales have been growing, but, you know, you're still seeing, you know, less than 1,000 sales per year.
Mm-hmm. And why is that? I mean, people know the benefits of driving electric vehicles, right?
You know, I think it's again, it is really a new technology. I think really we haven't seen commercially available electric cars before about 2010. So they've really only been on the market for about seven years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people also have an association with electric cars as being kind of a rich person's toy. People think of the Tesla.
Well, amen.
You know, it's a fantastic car, but you know, I $80,000 is a little out of my price range.
$80,000. Show me a Tesla for $80,000. My goodness. Last time I looked, it was 106.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we're talking, you know, MSRP, yes. It can go on up
Oh,
there.
Absolutely. So then tell me, if people know what the benefits are, and we're kind of steering away from it's a slow move towards electric vehicles, is it because there are some drawbacks? I know on your website you talk about new owners may be put off by the small changes in their driving behavior and habits. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, I'll tell you, it is a different type of experience. I think in many ways it's a superior experience. I actually think the technology is mature, and really the big issue is just having the infrastructure in place. When you go buy a you know, Toyota Corolla, you don't need to ask the sales staff, where am I going to fill this thing up?
Right.
And people just for electric cars, it's a new experience. And people do have a lot of questions about how do I charge the thing? As it turns out, 95% of that charging is going to happen in your own garage. And people hear that and they realize, oh, actually, that is pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
The remaining issue then becomes, you know, if you're going to go on a longer trip. And that's where we do need more public charging infrastructure along highway corridors.
Yeah.
So that you can pull off the road and plug in. And we're going to have technology in the future where you can plug in, be there for 5 to 7 minutes, go on your way, just like a normal gas station experience. Today, that's not quite there. So again, you know, it's a little bit of it's a new technology, but I think some of the advantages of it are that people experience, one of them is fast acceleration.
Mm-hmm.
Electric motors are much simpler than gasoline engines. They accelerate more quickly. They're silent, which is just personally, I really enjoy being in an electric car. There's not the roaring engine. The maintenance is very low. You don't have oil changes. They don't have a transmission. You don't have spark plugs.
Right.
There's just a lot less moving parts. And then,
so you don't have to go in for, you know, your latest update, you know, on your car,
no
right, your service.
Belts, mm-hmm. You know, just there's all sorts of things you don't have to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does it affect your electricity bill in your home?
You know, I would say on average, you're probably looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of, $20, $30, $40 a month. It depends on how many miles you're driving. But it, you know, if you wanted to turn it into gallon of gasoline equivalent, you're talking less than a dollar a gallon.
Okay. So it takes like 8 hours or more to charge these up, right?
See, this is where we do get into, you know, it's a little bit of education required with electric cars when anybody's considering it. But there's basically three types of charging. So
level one,
the first thing we would tell people is, hey, you're thinking about buying an electric car. You know what? Don't do anything new. Don't put any kind of charger in right away.
Mm-hmm.
Just go home. You've probably got a regular standard 110 outlet.
Mm-hmm.
You plug it in there. Typically, you're going to pick up 4 miles of driving for every 1 hour of charging
mm-hmm.
with a regular outlet. You know, a lot of people have their car parked for 10 to 12 hours a night. You know, you don't really worry that it's charging at 4 miles per hour because you're sleeping. You can't be driving then anyway.
Right.
If your driving habits, if you find you're driving more than 40 or 50 miles a day, you might want to upgrade. There's something called level two.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it's a 240 volt outlet. It's kind of like if you had a dryer or a large appliance that mm-hmm. you needed to plug in. Now that if it's a garage setting, you would need to upgrade service, and any electrician can do that for you. And then you're going to pay about $500 for a charger. Plug right into that, and you'll pick up, depending on how much charge your car can take,
mm-hmm.
anywhere between 10 to 25 miles of driving for every hour of charging. Well, then, hey, ran a bunch of errands Saturday morning, going out Saturday night, plug it in for 2 hours in the afternoon, you just picked up 50 more miles of driving. You're good to go.
Right. But, you know, if you're talking about a road trip, as you said, you really got to know where the outlets are, where you need to plug in. And you provide some of that information on your website as well.
There is a lot of information about that on driveelectricmn.org.
Mm-hmm.
There is also a terrific website called PlugShare. Now, and this is where we got to be honest here. The infrastructure is not all there yet, but I think we're going to see a lot of progress in the next couple of years. But, you know, already there's the equipment in place if you want to drive up to the North Shore. It's really a doable thing. You drive up to Pine City, plug in for a half hour, you're full if you're driving like a 100-mile range car. You can drive up. There's another charger in Moose Lake if you wanted to stop and pick up a little charge. And then Minnesota Power is the utility up in the Duluth area. They've just opened up a whole charging hub in the Canal Park area. So I think over the next couple of years, you're going to see expansion. Minnesota Department of Transportation has partnered with four other states
mm-hmm.
to build out a charging corridor along I-94. Mm-hmm. So you'd be able to drive all the way from Moorhead to Port Huron, Michigan.
The infrastructure, are we able to do this with our electrical grid? Can it handle, 100,000 or 500,000 more cars? Let's just say on the road in Minnesota alone, do we have the infrastructure to handle that?
Oh, definitely. The electric utilities know how to handle this. They've dealt with situations in the past where you get some new technology that uses a lot of electricity. Just think of air conditioning. We didn't used to have air conditioning. And suddenly that came along, and they figure out how to manage it. I will say, though, there's probably a good way and an awesome way to manage this. And so one of the issues we have in Minnesota is we're putting a lot more wind electricity on our system.
Right.
The wind tends to blow at night when everybody's sleeping and nobody's using electricity. So there's sort of a risk as we put more wind on the system that we could end up wasting some of that power. The nice thing is, hey, what's a new technology that can use a lot of electricity at night when everybody's sleeping? Electric cars.
Right.
And so there's a really good opportunity to make sure that electric vehicle charging is occurring not at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when everybody comes home, turns on their TV, cooks dinner, turns on their AC. That's not when we want a lot of charging to occur.
Right.
We want that charging to occur at 1 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that will actually make the utility system operate better than it operates today, more efficiently.
And how do you?
And that could, yeah. Sorry.
I'm sorry. How do you advise people who do not have garages to put their in-home charging system up? You know, they have to park on the street. Maybe they're living in urban areas or condos, that sort of thing. And is there a problem with people stealing electricity, or do you have the opportunity to lock it up?
You know, I am. I would say I'm not overly concerned about people stealing electricity. There are certainly some places that give away charging. They've realized that, it actually doesn't cost us that much to give somebody the ability to charge for free, and they're going to come and shop at the store while they're charging. But I would say you've identified a real issue.
Mm-hmm.
For people living in an apartment who don't have a garage, that is a problem we will need to figure out how to solve.
Mm-hmm.
And there is not a great solution to that one yet.
All right. My final question for you, sir. The Tesla CEO, Elon Musk, I think it's pronounced, he's the one that is screaming about fuel cells. How do you feel about fuel cells in the future of that with electric cars?
Fuel cells, like gasoline sales?
The hydro. The hydrogen,
Oh, hydrogen fuel cells?
Yeah, hydrogen fuel cells.
Fuel sales.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hydrogen fuel cells.
Well, I'm probably part ways a little bit with Elon on this. I do think there's some legitimate roles for hydrogen fuel cells in the new transportation economy. I think fuel cells are going to play a role with certain types of vehicles. Just like it didn't, 10 years ago, did we know electric vehicles were going to be so big today? But I think there is a lot of money being put into researching hydrogen, and I think you will see that play a role as well.
All right. Well, we will be following this story, especially with this new $75 charge coming up. When it's only 5,000 cars, we might not hear much about it. But as it increases and people are really looking to electric cars, we're just trying to figure out, when am I ready to do that? Because so many of us love a good road trip, and you just have to plan so carefully when you have an electric car. So there's so much more to talk about. I hope we can reach out to you again.
I would love to talk with you again. Thank you so much for having me on the air today.
All right. Really appreciate it, Brendan.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So if you're thinking about getting a car, seriously, go to their website. Let me give it to you again before we go to break. That is driveelectricmn.org. driveelectricminnesotamn.org. And get all the information you need if you're considering that. Okay, we're going to take a break. And coming up, if you'd like to comment on the electric deal, we only have a few minutes to talk, but you are welcome to do it. Would you ever buy an electric car? And if you have one, are you like a little ticked off about this $75 surcharge, basically, this whole to cover what we're missing in gas tax? are you a little ticked off about that? 651-989-9226. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 8:25 here at WCCO. In studio with me, in control of the controls. If you'd like to call at 651-989-9226, you'll hear the voice of Kevin Reed, our coordinator. How are you, Kevin?
Doing fine, thanks, Geraldine. How
good
are you?
Good to see you. I'm good to see you. Okay, so I didn't ask him about the portable battery. Is there a portable battery for an electric car? And there is. There are several places like Home Depot, Walmart, Target. Lots of places have these electric car battery packs, these small ones. And the cord, it takes a while for it to recharge, just like, you know, it's smaller. It's going to take a while, but at least they have that. Would you ever drive or purchase an electric car?
Yeah, I would once the technology gets better. And like he mentioned, the infrastructure needs to get better. I need to know there's a charging station
everywhere,
you know, a lot closer than, well, you drive here and then you can drive there. Well, what if I don't want to go there? What if I want to go over here?
Maybe there'll be an Airbnb for electric cars.
Could be.
Oh, I think I have an idea.
There you go.
I think I should. Okay, I'm going to patent that.
There you go. But those battery packs, do they look similar to the ones you use to jumpstart your car? Is that what you're talking about?
Kinda,
are they kind of the same size?
Kinda. When I look them up, they just kinda.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Almost
like your phone.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's got a little battery thing that you anyway.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's weird, but
yeah. But yeah, you
bigger than that, of course.
You definitely want to carry one of those around with you. But that's kind of what I'm waiting on. A, the price to come down, because even if you're not buying a Tesla, some of the hybrid cars are still, you know, in the $30,000 to $40,000 range,
yeah.
And it's like, well, if I'm going to buy a car, I don't want to spend.
But Tesla came out with one for like $38,000 or $48,000.
So they are coming down. So once the price comes down and there are more charging stations available, then we'll start thinking about.
By the way, back in April of this year, Toyota rolls out a hydrogen semi ahead of Tesla's electric truck.
Wow.
You know, so this whole idea that, you know, you can't do it with a semi. Yeah, well, they proved us wrong. Toyota sped ahead of Tesla and got out the 18-wheeler. And that's quite remarkable. Nobody gets out in front of Tesla these days. And it's dubbed the Project Portal. And fulfills the promise that Toyota made in November to scale up the fuel cell system used in its Mara sedan for a semi as part of a feasibility study. So, you know, fuel cells have been around for a long time. When I was married for about 20 years, and I was married for a total of 20 years. I'm sorry. So, yeah, 12 years. Mm-hmm. About 12 years into the marriage, we knew some guys that were working on fuel cells. And my husband at the time really wanted to invest in that. He saw the future and what it would be, right? And he did not invest in that. And it's been really slow coming, right. You know. The automakers were kind of trying to buy them all out and hide it, you know, put it away.
Automakers don't want that.
They don't want that. But now, you know, you've got the electric cars, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. And I think the automakers themselves, there's a slowdown here with the electric vehicles. Because let's face it, the oil companies and the automakers are tight.
They're tight, man.
Tight.
They're like twins. Yeah, they're like conjoined.
I think we'd be more likely to see the hybrid type vehicle where it's partially electric.
Yeah.
You know, so you get more
we
mileage.
We have a lot of that.
And I can see that sector of the auto industry moving forward faster than the straight electric car. That's just me.
Well,
but that's
you know,
what I can see.
And I know someone who has one of those, you know, so that if you can't find a place to charge, then at least you can find a place to put some gas in. So I like that idea. I even like, you know, when it comes to that sort of opportunity. I love the idea of a fireplace that can be electric or you can burn wood.
Oh, yeah.
My sister had one of those in California. So those hybrids, I like that. So I think those have done pretty well.
Yeah.
But straight electric cars, only 5,000 owners in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
I was shocked at that number.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. And then, you know, again, when you're talking about infrastructure, we're talking about, you know, a lot of people like to go to the lake. Well, if you get up to the lake, you got to recharge, you know, and a lot of people need the larger vehicles to pull a boat to the lake.
Pull a boat, you know, and I don't know if those electric cars can do that.
That's why, you know, we're still, when you were talking about the semi that's running on hydrogen, you know, they got to be able to pull a big load.
Yeah.
So that might be an area where the larger vehicles maybe will go before electric.
Absolutely. But I do worry about safety with hydrogen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a whole nother ballgame, whole nother discussion.
Exactly.
All right. We're going to take a break. You are listening to Steel Talking, and I am your host, Geraldine Steele. Hopefully, we will have our guest coming up next to talk about Lakeville Brewing Company and a really special event.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 8:34 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Steel Talkin'. I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. You know, I read about a fundraiser that happened yesterday. I was really hoping to get over there, but I had to work yesterday and really enjoyed that, by the way. In fact, let me pause for just a moment and say thank you so much to the Park Nicolet Frosha, and I hope I got that right, Froshu? Cancer Center, where my sister Javita and I did the keynote yesterday at a beautiful event. If you saw that event where they released the butterflies, it was just amazing. So thank you so much for having me. All right. With that said, I read about this fundraiser that was happening in Lakeville, and it just happened yesterday. The Lakeville Brewing Company used their business to help promote raising funds and awareness for children with hair loss. Now, I've heard of Locks of Love, and I'm sure you have too, but I had never heard of children with hair loss. And so many of us are losing our hair. I mean, I have girlfriends that are only 65 years old, and you'd be surprised at how much they've lost. I have others that look like they're, you know, 40 years old, and they have all of their hair. I don't know what causes it. If it's DNA stuff, I have no clue. But it's amazing how people come together, and you have options. Even men that are losing their hair, their wigs are available everywhere. But when it comes to children, you just sit up. And you pay attention to go, what can I do to help? Well, they were promoting raising the funds and awareness for children with hair loss. Joining us now is Rachel Marzan. She is the general manager of Lakeville Brewing. And I really appreciate her joining us tonight. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well, Rachel. I was so impressed that you guys do this. Have you been doing it long? Is this the first year?
So Lakeville Brewing Company has only been open 1 year, and this is the first time that we've done many other fundraisers, but this is the first one for children with hair loss.
Well, that's really awesome. And, you know, choosing to do that particular nonprofit, who chose that? Was that you?
Yes. Yeah, so I did. My boyfriend and I have been, we've been growing our hair for about 4 years now. And last time I had donated hair, it was to Locks of Love. And this time I was doing a bunch of research about which organization I wanted to donate to. And I landed on Children with Hair Loss because of all the things they put on their website. They don't charge children. They're for medical need up to age 21. Their hair systems are really intricate and really well done. And on Charity Navigator and GuideStar, they were silver level. They checked out. They were super good and really committed to their cause. So
that's incredible.
Why we picked that one.
Thank you for doing this, by the way. I understand that people were able to come right in and donate on site, correct?
Yes, we had three hairstylists from a local salon, Salon Onyx, that were donating their time, and we were cutting hair, so we had hair donations, as well as taking cash and check donations for the organization, and some proceeds from our brunch sales also went to children with hair loss.
You are awesome, darling. Okay, so what were the challenges, considering that this is an eating establishment and a drinking establishment?
Yes. So we have a large patio in the back. Mm-hmm. And so we had a tent and a tarp and all the stuff set out to do hair in the back part of our patio on the grass area.
Okay, and you're family friendly too, so there are children there.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Did you actually see any children walk up and say, I want to donate my hair?
Yes, there was. So some people, like my boyfriend and I, we've been planning this for 4 years. Some people heard about it from some of the press, and there was one person eating who just said, wow, this is going on today. Do I have enough? I'll donate.
Oh,
and we had some kids donate as well, which was all super encouraging. We had 108 inches of hair donated in total.
Say that one more time.
108 inches of hair was donated, yep, from this event.
That's remarkable. And tell me how, if people have hair they want to give now, can they still give to the Lakeville Brewing Company, or do they need to contact the organization?
At this point, because our fundraiser is done, I would say to contact the organization.
Okay.
They lay out all of the guidelines really well on their website. And what I appreciate about children with hair loss is they take the most different kinds of hair. So you only need 8 inches. It can be color treated. It can be gray, just not damaged. And as long as it's clean and sent in with it bound at the top and the bottom of the hair.
Mm-hmm.
And other places don't take color treated, don't take grays. Need at least 10 inches. So this was nice because it gave more flexibility to those donating.
A lot more flexibility. What about those who can walk into a shop where you can buy human hair clean, ready to go for like $300, right?
Yeah.
And they bring it in and say, how about this? Can you use this? Is that okay?
That I don't know as much. I'm not affiliated with the organization.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just super passionate about the cause and I love what they're doing. I would imagine that's possible. I think sometimes the hard part is they get hair, but not the money to go with it.
Right.
So that's why we did fundraising through the through our event, but also personally, my boyfriend and I did a GoFundMe, and we raised about $2,000 for the organization because it costs between $1,000 and $1,800 to make one hair system.
My goodness.
And it's 15 to 20 ponytails.
Yeah, and
so
I read
a lot goes into it.
Yeah, I read that on their website when I was perusing.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we didn't get Regina on tonight. Regina Villamur, the founder of Children with Hair Loss. And but you can go to their organization at childrenwithhairloss.us. Now, I have to ask, I have to say this to you. I love that you have listed on your homepage. It says, if you or someone you know needs assistance for alcohol addiction or abuse, please seek help. Here is a place to find helpful resources. And you give the information. I almost broke into tears. You don't see that from an establishment that sells alcohol. And it's responsible of you to do it. I will send people to your place of business as often as I can, knowing that you feel this way and that you know the importance of that. So thank you.
Yes. We're a family business. The whole place is. So it's run by two families. They love to be able to have a good place to eat, have a good beer, and have places for their kids to play, and we got good kids meals and all that stuff. So it's definitely in tune with what Lakeville Brewing is about.
And that's not mandatory by the city, right, for you to put that on?
That I don't know. I can't speak to that.
I've never seen that before. When I look at, you know, food eateries, and I just go, I'm looking all the way down at the bottom to see what it says, and I've never seen that before, so I was very excited. So congratulations on your one-year anniversary, and that you would know to do something to give back to the community, and this is big, so thank you again. If people want more information, how do they find you?
More information about Lakeville Brewing Company, it's on our website. More information about the hair fundraiser, that Pioneer Press did an article. Otherwise, the Facebook event has contact information to reach me.
Okay, but your website is?
Lakeville Brewing Company.
There you go, LakevilleBrewing.com. Is that right? Lakeville Brewing or LakevilleBrewingCompany.com?
Brewco.
Brewco.
So, yeah.
LakevilleBrewco.com.
Yep.
All
right.
Worst case
scenario, Google it. You'll find us. We're the only Lakeville Brewing Company.
All right. I sure appreciate it, Rachel. Thank you for what you do. You take care of yourself.
Yes, you too. Have a wonderful night.
All right. Bye-bye. Wow. Again, childrenwithhairloss.us or Lakeville Brewing. I'm sorry, LakevilleBrewCo.com. All right. We're going to take a break, and we will be back in just a moment. It is now 8:44 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Steel Talking, and I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. You know, here's the thing. I keep reading about all that is going on right now when it comes to politics, and we talked about that earlier. But now that the First Lady Melania Trump has moved into the White House with their son, Barron, you know, I thought, okay, maybe we will focus on something more positive. Maybe we will focus on maybe she'll come forward and talk about how, you know, the president is very concerned about this and that, because that's the one thing I haven't heard from this particular president. And you all know that I'm not a big fan of Trump. I do respect the office of the presidency, so I will call him President Trump. I don't have any problem with that. But I will say that, you know, I think he's a terrible president so far. And I do know that people can change, but this is a mess, y'all. This is a mess. It's just a disaster. And as we wait for it all, as we watch it happen, I have so many different feelings about it. And I keep asking myself, how does the First Lady play into this? Now, nearly every article I have seen when it comes to the First Lady, they always talk about how much she's spending on her clothes. I remember Nancy Reagan when she was First Lady. She would, you know, wear haute couture. And people felt so offended by that. It's like, oh, my gosh. You know, how is it that she can wear $25,000 dresses off of the American taxpayer's dollar, right? Well, I can't answer that question. But if I were to write an article about Melania Trump or try to talk to her, I wouldn't ask her a thing about her clothes. There's just way too much more to talk about. I don't care how much her shoes are anymore. I don't care how much her clothes are. When they came to this office, they were already part of the one percenters, period. So, okay. So she carries a bag that's worth, you know, a purse that's worth like $20,000. Or she wears a jacket that's, you know, worth $120,000. I just don't care. What I do care is what they are doing to this country and what they're doing in the White House. And as this happens, I look at all the other first ladies within my lifetime. I used to love hearing about Rosalynn Carter. You know, she is still living and still doing fine. And I thought she just was a hero, a shero. She was one of those who was in the White House right next to her husband. He accepted her input, looked forward to it. The American people knew that she was a part of that. When it came to Nancy Reagan, she was a huge part of her husband's, the way he led the country, answering questions. She was really a part of it. And I think we all knew that, even though there was a quiet demur about her, she was still... We knew she was in the trenches with her husband, her president. You know, and then there were the Bushes. Enough said. And then you move on to Clinton after the elder Bush. And, you know, his wife came in and didn't even want to change her name to Clinton. She wanted to be Hillary Rodham. And if you're going to add the Clinton, it would have to be Hillary Rodham Clinton. And this was a woman that was in the trenches for years, working with, you know, people that were on the living on the margins and less than, you know, those that were less than she was. And she gave it her all. And she told the American people, this is what I want to do. I want to pass health care. I want to do this, do that. You know, now I should say something about Barbara Bush. Barbara Bush, as quiet as it's kept when it came to her husband, she was very knowledgeable, well-read, and very involved, but very quiet. And a lot of people have voted her as the number one first lady in their book in modern times. I can't say I would pick her, but many, many, many people felt that way. So I will say that about the Bushes. But about George W. Bush, I don't have anything good or bad to say about Laura Bush. Then, of course, it's First Lady Michelle Obama, and who, you know, she was just so smart and so involved, and she had the things that she really cared about, and it mattered to us that she cared about those things. And I'm looking forward to hearing whatever it is that Melania Trump is going to work towards, because first ladies do matter. They don't just sit back and do nothing. They actually matter. Some are more quiet. Some don't have a whole lot to say. And then there are others that are right up front, giving it everything, you know, to see First Lady Obama out there dancing with those children and working hard to eliminate, you know, child obesity. That's huge. And the numbers dropped. We can't say that the numbers didn't drop. They did. And now the First Lady has moved in. Finally. Finally. Since January 20th, she's finally in the White House. Now what will happen? Will she come forward and be a strong first lady? Will she be an outspoken first lady? Will she come forward and say, no, this is not who we are. We do care about the American people. We do care if Russia meddled into our affairs. We want to get to the bottom of it. We are going to do everything that is asked of us. Everything that is asked of us. If my husband said there are tapes, and he's going to deliver them. Okay, then if he's going to deliver them, he's being asked to deliver them by Friday of this week. Hey, now, will he do it? And if he doesn't do it, is there a penalty for that? I'm blown away at the hearings. You know, those that have come forward in the hearings and say things like, I don't feel like I should answer that. If you're asked by the committee, right? If the Senate is asking you questions, you're supposed to answer the question truthfully. When did it get to the point where we can just say, no, I don't think I feel like answering that? I'm blown away by it. How have we gotten here? So they've said, President Trump, you have until Friday to give us the so-called tapes that you kind of threatened Comey with. I add in the threatened. Do they exist? And if they exist, we must have them by Friday. What do you think? Do you think we're going to see some tapes, you know, just all of a sudden appear? Maybe we will. But watching how this has been unfolding, I really doubt it. I really doubt it. And we keep saying to ourselves, no way. As you heard from Professor Woodard earlier tonight from Concordia University, you know, he said, you know, he's never been in politics before. This is so new to him. He doesn't know what is expected of him. I don't necessarily agree with that. In fact, I'm going to just blatantly say I don't agree with that. I think he knows exactly what's expected of him because there are people in his administration right next to him, like Vice President Pence, who has been in politics for a long time. They know what it means. He has advisors right there to tell him. So please stop telling us he doesn't know any better. No, he's listening to his administration. And people keep writing saying, well, he's listening to Bannon. He's listening to Kushner. Okay. If he's listening to people and Pence is one of them, I mean, that's his vice president, the vice president of the United States. Then please stop telling us that this president doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know how politics work. I totally disagree. I think he's very aware of it. And we have got to get to the bottom of this just so that we can move forward. Now, I know I'm on my soapbox. This is my diatribe. I apologize for constantly beating you over the head with this. I don't mean to. But I do mean to shed a light on the importance of it. And we have so many other things to deal with. It's like there are distractions all around us. These are real distractions. There are real problems that are happening to our nation and to our allies. Can somebody please explain to me this USS Fitzgerald, which was this Filipino cargo boat, turns around and hits it just in the right place to do plenty of damage. How does that happen? My goodness, we have so much to pay attention to. But this thing with the Russia probe, this thing with Comey and the president and going back and forth and the president saying, be careful. You know, you don't want me to have to produce the tapes. I paraphrase, of course. Or those that come before in the hearing, the Sessions hearing, you know, as you read about that. And don't just watch it. As you watch it on television, you're going to miss some things. Read the transcript if you can. You will be shocked at how much you can glean from that. I'm always surprised. How come I didn't hear that when I was listening to it? It's no joke today. No joke. I was shopping the other day and I heard some women talking in the store. And I'm not talking about grocery shopping. I was shopping for shoes. And I heard someone in the store starting to talk about Trump. And they got louder and louder because the two were on opposite ends. And when I first heard them talking, it was a soft kind of a purr in their conversation. It's like they didn't want people to know what they were talking about. But it just became a little more intense and a little more intense. Not too loud. But you knew that whatever this was, a friendship, a sisterhood, whatever this was between the two women, wow. And we're seeing it everywhere, right? You don't even want to start a conversation at dinner because the table next to you is going to, you say Trump and everybody turns around. You know, or you see the look on their face, their disdain for the conversation that they're listening to next to them. I don't want to hear your views on that. Goodness. I've decided that I'm going to pick a place. My sister did this one time. I'm going to pick a place like she did. And I'm going to go into a restaurant. And if someone is sitting alone, I hope that I will be able to sit down with them, that they will receive my invitation or my ask to say, do you mind if I sit down and have dinner with you? Are you dining alone? You know, this is not a come on. I just want to talk to you as an American to American and hear each other's views. Wouldn't that be something if we went into a restaurant and we saw a table of three and there was one seat and you walk in and you go, ah, that seat. Do you mind if I join your table of three? What would they say? And the only reason why I say this is a possibility is because I was in New York performing at Town Hall, beautiful, beautiful venue, with a Garrison Keillor and a Prairie Home Companion just a few years ago. And I'm sitting in Starbucks, and all the Starbucks, the one across the street was packed, and this one that I was in was packed. But there was one table of two that had just gotten up, and I went and I put my things down, got back in line to get my soy chai. And I go and I sit down. And I start studying my script. And in walks a handsome young man. And he's standing in line and he looks over at me, which I didn't see, but he told me this. He walks over because I've only got the one seat that's available and he wants to sit down and enjoy his coffee or whatever he was having. And he said to me, "Do you mind if I join you for lunch?" And I looked up and I looked into his eyes and I thought, "Yes, you may. I'm looking forward to it." And there we sat for 2 hours and talked. I was almost late for rehearsal because of it. I learned so much about him and he learned so much about me and our families, his travels and what he's done in his life, what he wants to do in his life. I invited him and his fiance to the show that night. I never got to see them afterwards, but he called me and said, "I loved the show, particularly this, and this. I just loved it. Thank you for the invitation. I'm so sorry we didn't get to see you afterwards." And he and I kept in touch for about a year after that. Just having that conversation can open the doors to a better understanding, maybe give the clarity that you need or you're hoping to get. So I encourage you to do that. I'm sure going to do it. When my sister did it about, a year and a half ago, she said, "Geraldine, I was so nervous when I first went in." She said, "I wasn't sure if someone would receive me." You know, that's a little weird when you walk over to someone and say, do you mind if I join you? Whether they're younger or older or your age. But there was a lot to learn, and she learned a lot about that person, their future, their hopes and dreams, their pain. And he learned about hers. He was an older man. And when they finished, they shook hands and said, "Thank you for allowing me to share my story and you sharing your story with me." Never saw each other again, but there was something beautiful in that moment. Maybe we can begin right there. So if you see someone sitting at the bar, they're not drunk, ask me, I join you. Start a conversation. There are students right now in seminary who are getting their Masters of Theological Studies or their Masters of Divinity, and they go out and have a ministry called the Bar Ministry, where they sit in a bar with a beer and they wait for someone to come sit next to them at the bar. And then they begin to talk and share and hopefully uplift. Let's put our fears aside. After what happened Friday with Castillo, I honestly, we have to do something. All right, we're going to take a break. And coming up next is Center Stage. And I can't wait because we're going to hear from the guy who sings Eye of the Tiger. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.